Hey there, podcast listeners. This is Justin from Beyond the Uniform. My goal is to give military veterans tools to navigate their civilian career. I want to start this episode with a question, and that is, guess who spent their whole weekend learning to edit podcasts and find an incredible soundtrack to kick off the show? This guy. I gotta tell you, the world of copyright-free music is an absolute cesspool. If you only knew the number of frogs I kissed this weekend to find this gem of a song, this song that would make you want to shout, "Shut up, I just want to listen to that sweet music," instead of these interviews. This one is called Something Elated, and the title just says it all. So I could fill an entire show with the runners-up, the theme music for this podcast. There was music I'd group in the arcade-themed music, jazz, John Philip Sousa march-style music, songs you'd expect as background music in an adult entertainment film, and even songs that would make a Werther's Original commercial background. I waded through all of that just for you, my loyal listeners. Which brings me to my second point. If you are enjoying this, drop some love on iTunes. I would greatly appreciate a good review on iTunes. It helps get the word further. This week, I'm really excited. I'm connecting with a old friend and former shipmate of mine from the USS Chicago. I did a brief stint with them, Tom Spann, who holds three master's degrees, but two of them from Stanford, one in law and one a master's in engineering. And he's had a diverse background of working at a law firm in corporate law, as well as working in management consulting with McKinsey & Company. And the reason why I think this is such a compelling interview, in addition to Tom just being a fantastic guy and just very candid and straightforward, is he does have a really broad breadth of experience that I haven't been able to speak to on this show yet. And he does a great job of breaking down law school, corporate law, and consulting in terms of what might make each of them appealing or unappealing for you, what the day-to-day life is like, what the application process is like, what the teams are like. It creates a really vivid picture of what each of these is like, as well as what people go on to do after these. So for anyone listening, I think this will be a great opportunity to investigate these different career options. And here is Tom. All right. Well, Tom, it's really good to reconnect after 10 years now, and appreciate your taking the time at the office to speak with me about your experience.
Likewise, it's great to reconnect after it seems like yesterday, but apparently it's been a long time.
I know. It's that age now, man. It's that age where 10 years goes by quickly.
That's it.
Well, just quick background for everyone on Tom. Tom graduated from the Naval Academy. He had his Bachelor of Science with merit in systems engineering. He served on board nuclear submarines on the USS Chicago. We actually met there for when I was on a brief stint with the Chicago. He also served in Third Fleet with San Diego and in Afghanistan as an economic development planner. And he's got a collection of degrees, a master's in engineering management from Old Dominion University, a master's in management science and engineering from Stanford, and a Juris Doctorate from Stanford. And since then, he's worked in a law firm, Sullivan and Cromwell, as well as in management consulting with McKinsey. And I was excited to reconnect with Tom, not just because of his incredible background and just experience in the law and in management consulting, but he was one of the senior JOs when I was on the Chicago and was not only very, very competent, but just also a straight shooter and very, very, very honest on stuff. And so, Tom, appreciate your speaking with me.
Oh, thanks. It's a real pleasure. So I think from my background, you can see I basically just can't hold down a job. So that's the root cause I think we've identified.
That's awesome. Well, I thought we could start with the point at which you knew you were going to leave the military and how you approached that decision.
Yep. So it was a tough decision, obviously, because I think you could see from when we were both in, it was a great time, lots of fun, great camaraderie. But I think it was really I met my wife and then deployed, and then the thought of doing 6 month deployments away from her for good for a career, it was. Something we didn't really want to do, and I feel like I had done everything I wanted to do in the Navy, so decided to get out. And then, of course, 5 days after my wedding, went to Afghanistan for 6 months. So delayed the plan to be home more a little bit, but yeah, I think that was the real impetus of it. It was just wanting to have a more normal home life, I think.
And when you made that decision, it looks like you chose to remain in the reserves. I'm wondering, on one part, how you considered that, and then also how supportive your jobs have been of you being in the reserves.
Yep, I think I decided to stay in the reserves because of the things I enjoyed about the military. I felt like I could get that link, just the camaraderie and doing something totally different than I was in law school at the time after the Navy. So it was breaking from the law back to an operational setting was just really rewarding on the weekends, and then doing the stints for 2 weeks a year. And then actually after law school, when I started practicing as a lawyer, shifted to the IRR, so no drilling requirements, just doing correspondence courses because the time commitment was just way too much with the job. And now with McKinsey Management Consulting, traveling 4 days out of the week and being home only on the weekends, still in the IRR, but hopefully someday when I have a more regular schedule, switching back to the active reserves.
Yeah, man, that would be a full plate to be juggling all of those at the same time.
That's it, exactly. We'd go back on the spend more time with family commitment to it.
That
was the decision, yeah.
And when you got out, I'm wondering, what did you do in your time between getting out and actually going to grad school?
So it was only about 3 months or so between the two. So I went with my wife's from Ireland originally. So we went and stayed with her family for the 3 months, and she worked over there, which was great. And I got to really get in touch with her folks and really get to know them as people, which was fantastic. And then study for the first year of law, which is a little bit brutal, as you can imagine. So I was a little more prepared. But then 3 months in, started the school year and hit the ground running and been having fun since. So it was nice vacation, I guess, is the real answer.
Yeah. It was similar. Before business school, I had a little bit of time to travel, and it was such a nice opportunity to have some breathing room before diving into the thick of it.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of those once in a lifetime kind of experiences where you're taking such a huge change in direction where you can afford to take some time and collect your thoughts and really approach it with a fresh, totally fresh set of eyes, which I really appreciated.
That's great.
I mean, it was worth it.
And one thing I was wondering about is that already having your master's degree from Old Dominion University, how did you decide to go and pursue more education? And then specifically, how did you choose to go on to do law school and more engineering?
Yeah, good question. So the law school, I was pretty sure I wanted to be a lawyer, although I'm not a lawyer anymore. I did enjoy being a lawyer while I was one. But I was thinking I wanted to do intellectual property law because it combined writing, which I enjoy, and learning about inventions and writing patents and that sort of thing. Found out very quickly in law school that it's intellectual property law is not quite as exciting as I thought it would be. So I decided to shift to more of a business focus and do corporate law. But to answer the question, to practice law, you have to go to law school. So that was kind of I didn't really have much choice. So I'd rather go straight into a job, but I had to do the schooling. And then as far as the other degree, Stanford, it's really nice. They have a program where you can add on a master's degree with your law program without incurring any additional time or expense. So it's essentially a 2-for-1 deal, which seemed like kind of a no-brainer. So I didn't have to do any more than the 3 years and got 2 degrees out of it. So it's just a nice little bonus add-on feature.
Oh, man. I just can't imagine, dude. From what I understand about law school, it's such an intense experience. And then to be doing that and throwing more on the mix, you're a glutton for punishment.
I don't know. It's only the first year of law school that's bad. After that, it's not too bad.
And one thing I always like to ask about is when you were in school, how did you feel like the military put you ahead of your peers? And in what areas did you feel like you had to scramble to catch up?
Yeah, I think it was quite unique in law school. I think a lot of military folks go to business school, natural transition, I suppose. In law school, it's more geared towards people who came straight from undergrad and then started their law program right after that. So I found that being in the military and being a little bit older and certainly not wiser, but at least knowing a few more things, really helped me put things into perspective, which I think was a huge advantage. when I think a lot of people got very caught up with grades and with the projects, and everything was school focused, I was able to enjoy the experience a lot more and really think more, be more thoughtful about what I was learning and why I was learning it and what was important. Besides the fact of dealing with, you know, stressful situations, as we both experienced on good old Chicago, that was just very helpful. I think the disadvantage probably was I wasn't quite as used to the study mindset, where it's a lot of memorization and it's a lot of just the constant. It's much more challenging from a being questioned about things opposed to knowing exactly what to do and going and executing. So it was shifting that focus, which was a little more challenging probably for me than someone coming straight from an environment where you're in school to more school. That would be the one disadvantage, I think.
Do you mean in just terms of like you'd spent so much time in the military kind of executing and just doing things, and so it was more of a sense of not having that certainty, or what do you mean by that?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's less structure. So yeah. Classes may be structured and you know there's certain objectives to learn, but other than that, you know that you have all of the information and you have to prioritize that information and know what's important and understand that. And there's no real guidance to what's important and what's not. You just have to kind of feel it out. And over time you get that sense, but it's a bit of a mind shift in coming up with your own structure to how you're going to do things, I think.
That makes sense. And what advice would you give if someone in the military right now was thinking of going to law school? What advice would you have to them on in terms of how to prepare or how to make that as smooth a transition as possible?
I would say definitely talk to as many lawyers as you can and figure out what their jobs are like, what they enjoy about it, what they don't, and not just corporate lawyers or the traditional trial lawyers, because there's a lot more to law that I don't think many people appreciate it until they really get into the profession. And a lot of people find their way almost by accident, like I did. I didn't really know much about corporate law and M&A and deal making. I'd only litigation, a little bit about IP law, but once you start talking to lawyers and learning more about it, you probably will find that there's certain specialties in law that if you prepare for earlier, you'll get a head start in your career, and you might get much more excited about it. For example, bankruptcy law and restructuring is a very specific legal skill set that if you're not exposed to it, you might not even know it exists or what it entails. So if you can meet a bankruptcy professional and talk to them for a little while, you'll start getting a sense of what their job's like, and maybe you'll hate it, maybe you'll love it. But it gives you that additional knowledge going into the program, so you can tailor your program at law school to match what your ultimate career goal is. I think that'd be the one piece of advice.
And so I'm assuming you were doing corporate law at Sullivan & Cromwell, is that right?
I was, yeah.
Okay, so I'm wondering, what was it about corporate law that really grabbed you?
I think it's the thinking about it's more predicting the future and less about diagnosing the past, I guess you could say. Mm. So litigator, if you're the lawsuit's been filed and now you're trying to figure out what happened and how you got to that point, and then who was right and who was wrong based on past actions. Whereas corporate law, you're piecing together deals and structuring agreements such that in the future, if things were to fall apart, the rights are clearly defined, and the counterparties have their clear delineation of where the assets go and that sort of thing. Almost like a forward-looking divorce, a prenuptial agreement, I guess you could say, between two is the morbid way to think about it. But I like the idea of looking into the future and planning and putting together things that were forward-looking, I think. And that's ultimately what drove me to switch from law to management consulting, because I felt like I was looking even further in the future to where deal hadn't even been ready to be made yet. It was thinking about the strategy that would be behind the deals that would eventually come together.
Oh man, that's interesting. I never thought of it on that spectrum of things, but that makes sense. It's like the legal side is kind of, it is forward looking on corporate law, but then management consulting is even further of like you said, finding those and making those deals.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And it's almost, I was thinking about investment banking or managing consulting, and it's almost, you could see them, at least I thought of them as a spectrum almost, where you have the law when everything's come together and the commercial points are ironed out, everything's pretty much done and you're just putting on a paper. Now, of course, there's more to it than that. That's right. Yeah. Simple way to say it. But the investment bankers are doing the commercial terms, but again, the strategy's been hammered out mostly. And then, like I said, management consulting, you're thinking about the strategy that drives the whole engine.
So, oh, man. I'd never thought of them in that terms. That's a very different way of looking at it, but that makes a complete sense. It could be for Sullivan and Cromwell or just more broadly for corporate law. What was the application process like? Like, how did you get through the door from law school?
So the first step is to take the LSAT, which is the standardized test similar to the GMAT, except it's less. I never took the GMAT, but I think it's a little bit more preparation and study, and the LSAT is more... It's more practice, but there's less study. There's less knowledge behind it. It's more critical reasoning and that sort of thing. Sort of like the verbal part of the SAT, I suppose. But that's given, I think now, several times a year. So it takes a couple months to study for that, just so you get a sense of the test and how it works and do practices for it, practice tests. And there are lots of programs that can prepare you for that, Kaplan and some other test preparation courses. So you do that. That process, I think it took about 3 or 4 months to be ready to take the test and take it. Then you law school applications are actually quite easy compared to business school applications in that you write essentially one essay about basically anything, and then you submit that with an application of basic information about yourself and then your LSAT score and your grades. And then you hear back in June and July, and then you make your decision and start in the fall.
Wow. And then, while you were at Stanford, what was it like, interviewing for like a corporate law degree? What was that process like?
It's very formulaic, and, I think it's because it's very much focused on people that have gone from undergrad straight into law school. It's very, very structured, which makes it great. Because I suppose as little experience as they did looking for a job since I was in the military for so long and had never looked for a job. But typically your first summer, you do a nonprofit placement and usually get a stipend or something to work at a law firm or a nonprofit to get the basic legal skills. Then you're at the beginning of your second year, there's on-campus interviews. Different schools do it differently. With us, it was kind of a lottery. You sign up and then you pick which firms you want to interview with. The firms come and they do, there's basically a set of rooms in the library and they interview people in 30-minute blocks all day. Then they invite the people they want to interview further to the firm to do essentially a half day interview. It's about 4 hours of interviews, a series of either 30-minute or 1 hour interviews the next week or so. And then you get your offer after that typically, and then spend the summer at that firm for about 10 weeks or so functioning as a real associate doing real legal work, which is a lot of fun. And also, of course, the nice dinners and team events. So it's great. You get to know everybody. And then you come back the next, after your third year, typically, and work at that same firm where you summered.
Okay, great. So you get to preview them a little bit, and they get to preview you a little bit.
Right, exactly.
In those half-day interviews, are they asking you questions like you might have in a classroom, like specifically about law or how you would handle things, or is it more like brain teasers that consulting is known for, or how is that like?
Surprisingly, it's neither. it's purely personality driven. They'll just talk about, maybe pick something on your resume and you kind of just talk about it. Typically, I found that when I was interviewing people, I would look for one thing on their resume that resonated with me. Maybe it was a sport, or certainly if they were a veteran, I would bring that up and talk about it. And it's literally a free-form conversation, no hard skills interviewing at all. No one ever asked me, what are your strengths or weaknesses even? It was just purely based on fit and how you interact with the people, which is it's good and bad. I mean, I guess the good thing is you really learn over the course of the half day if you, these are people you'd enjoy working with, just based on the, how they conduct those conversations and if you fit in or not, and you enjoy talking to them. It's bad in that you don't really know how what the work's like until you actually get there during the summer. I mean, you get a sense of it, but that's the only downside, I guess.
And that's that. You know, that leads into the next thing I was going to ask about is for someone who's on active duty, who knows nothing about corporate law, how would you describe your day to day and your week to week? What was life like while you were there?
Good question. It's very fluid because it's deal driven. So there are sometimes periods where you have one or two deals that are really hot and you're scrambling to get documents together and you're negotiating final points on agreements and filing documents with the SEC. And those weeks can be, you know, one or two all-nighters that week, and then you close and then there's a teppy and then you have a little bit of a lull typically after that. So it's much more cyclical than say a litigation associate who has a constant caseload. And there might be sometimes right before a filing where it gets super busy, but it's more steady and more predictable because it's driven by court schedules, whereas the deals are purely based on economics. And usually when a deal is finalized, they want to get it on paper as quickly as possible, because at that stage, once you've signed the paperwork to the close is a period of risk for both the buyer and the seller that something's going to go wrong, unexpected, so they want to finish it quickly. Mm. So I suppose the tasks on a day-to-day basis range from drafting agreements, looking at precedent for agreements that were done in similar situations that have language that you can use that would hold up in court later. Structuring transactions, looking at say corporate law in various states to see how the corporate law structures would dictate what rights of the future organization would have, and how you want to construct the subsidiaries and how the funds would flow from those subsidiaries, that sort of thing. And then sometimes you have other questions where a board of directors will have a question on a governance issue, and you might research that to see what their fiduciary duty is in a certain situation. So there's a little bit of legal research. So really, really quite varied. And I think that's one of the things I like most about it, is that you didn't know week to week, and sometimes you didn't know day to day what you'd be doing, and that kept it exciting. Stressful sometimes, but certainly exciting.
Are you, you know, I think of the time in the military, how much you work with teams and people. I'm wondering how much of your job was interacting with other people or with teams, and what those teams looked like.
Much less than I liked. So that's another reason I switched over to management consulting, is it was more of a solo type job. You did have deal teams where maybe two or three people working on a deal together, but sometimes in different offices, and certainly you'd interact with them over email, but it wouldn't be a kind of thing where you're sitting around problem solving and brainstorming about things. It was much more, you have an office, you're working in your office, you know, you go out to lunch and interact with people in the hallway, but it wasn't really a come together and come up with the best solution as a group. Yeah. It was more like do independent research, then report back on your findings, and then there's a decision made. So I definitely missed that when I was a lawyer from both the military and the job that I'm doing now. So.
Great. And did it entail a lot of travel? Did you ever have to, were you mostly based in San Francisco, or were you traveling a lot?
Almost exclusively in Palo Alto. Yep. I did one deal down in Arizona, in Scottsdale. So, but that was maybe 2 weeks of travel total over the 3 years. So
nice. Very little. Nice. And this could be the same answer that you gave about law school, but I was wondering if anything stood out as advantageous coming from the military, and anything stood out as having to catch up to civilian peers.
I think it's the same as the answer for law school, except less of the issue with structure, because I think law as a profession is generally pretty structured, so it's less just deciding what to do and doing it. It's more, there's more structure to it. And maybe part of that is that I already had that culture shock from going to school, so I was used to it. But definitely the same idea of being able to put things into perspective and handling stress well, that those were the same advantages.
And then before we talk about management consulting, I'm just wondering, had you stayed in corporate law, if you could paint the picture of what the typical career looks like, what roles and like typical range of time that people would spend over the course of their career?
Yeah, it's people go either one of three. Well, people that decide to stay in law go one of two ways generally, or at least corporate law. You either stay with a big law firm or a medium-sized law firm, and then go and make partner, which typically takes 10 years. So you're an associate all the way up till that point, but you have varying levels of responsibility that depend on what you can handle and what type of work you're doing. So usually by year three, I was managing two or three people, up to eight people on diligence projects. And then the teams stay about the same size, but the deals you're working on get bigger, and you get more autonomy from the partners as you get closer to that partnership level. Then when you make partner at year 10, you become an equity holder of the firm, and then that's typically where you're staying for good. The other alternative, you want to stay in, you want to, in somewhat easier lifestyle, is you at some point during that career progression go over and become an in-house attorney with a company, usually one of your clients, and essentially, instead of having multiple clients, you have the one client, which is also your company, and then you do similar work, but exclusively for that company, and it's typically a easier lifestyle, more normal hours, less unpredictable, and then the ultimate goal, I suppose, there would be to become a general counsel of a company or the head lawyer, and that's the other route people take.
And then you took the third route.
I took the third route. Yeah. And you bounce.
and you've kind of talked about a couple factors. It sounds like it sounds like the team was one component, and it also sounds like the looking even further and playing a role in the deal, the decisions that were made that led ultimately to the legal work. Anything else you wanted to say about what motivated that shift to management consulting?
Yeah, I think those are the two of the big ones. And along with the team component is also the creativity, which I think plays into the team role. With law, you're working very much within the strict structure of the law, naturally. But the problems you're solving are typically ones that have been solved in the past, and your goal is to find the closest, quite often your goal is to find the closest situation to the one that you're facing and find a way that it was dealt with successfully in the past and apply it to your situation, which is quite interesting from an intellectual perspective. But with consulting, quite often it's a wide open problem. Your company asks you to solve problem X, and they brought you in because they may not have been able to solve it themselves because it's the most difficult problem, and you have carte blanche basically to propose a solution and to come up with an answer that satisfies their need, which I think is quite thrilling and quite interesting.
And you know, with such different types of things that you're doing, I know that the interview process is very different. How would you describe interviewing for a job in a consulting firm?
It was very different than law. So it's much more, it's actually much more like the job itself. So you do what's called a case interview, typically. And I think almost every consulting firm does those. And it's essentially you solve a problem that would be very much like a problem that any client would face, but that can be solved within an hour interview. So, for example, the interviewer will say, after some chit-chat and talking about yourself and what your background is, okay, let's say your client is company ABC, and they are suffering some sort of profitability drop. Why is that? And then it's learning how to take that question and ask the right follow-on questions to craft a solution. And it's very much a co-creation with the interviewer because they want you to succeed generally. And you problem solve in a team situation where the interviewer happens to be your team to come up with a solution that makes sense to the problem and solve the case, I guess you could say.
It sounds like a businessman's version of Dungeons and Dragons.
Exactly. Maybe that's why I liked it so much. I don't know. there are no dice. So
and you know, one of the things I liked about the consulting world, you know, especially about teams, was the diversity of people you worked with. And I'm wondering, you know, as you look around the people you work with, what are some of the backgrounds? Like, you came from law, which is seems to be one subset. What are some of the other flavors of people that do something to get into consulting?
It's actually amazing the range of backgrounds. That's really been quite a shock, and really I think it's fantastic. I was assuming that I would come in as one of the few non-business people, but it's actually I would say maybe less than half of the folks that I've worked with so far have had traditional quote unquote business backgrounds. We've had other lawyers, tons of vets, and not just vets from you know, the normal submarines or surface, but right now on my team, I have a force recon Marine who was telling us about how he had to live off the land in some province in the middle of Afghanistan. and then there's been teachers and any background you can imagine. There was a music PhD in my initial training, and the most rewarding thing is everyone brings a slightly different or sometimes very different perspective to the problem and solves it in a very different way. Much more than I could have ever appreciated having not been in a lot of different organizations. For example, the lawyers always tend to think of things from, well, not always, but quite often think of things from both perspectives because that's the way they were trained as a lawyer to think about the counter arguments. So I find that often I bring the devil's advocate kind of obligation to dissent to see the other side and poke holes. In our analysis, which sometimes people don't appreciate, but it helps get to the right solution. And likewise, there's folks in strict business background that have such depth of knowledge that they can bring to bear on a problem that will think 10 steps ahead of the business rationales and why this has failed and how this has been successful in, or failed in the past. And it's really interesting when you bring all those people together and craft a solution, how the sum of the parts is... It's definitely much bigger than each individual. It's great.
Yeah, I interned at McKinsey in the New York office, and the sense the sense I had was just like, I will never work with a group this bright again. It was just I had a similar sense of just looking around. It's like, man, so many different backgrounds, but everyone here was really good at whatever they did. And I know in my class there was people from med school, there was people with PhD. Yeah. It was just like it was the ultimate cocktail party of just everyone was really good, and you're like, wow, I just feel my sense was just overwhelming gratitude of like, wow, just to be in the midst of these people. And then it that element was something appealing for me about consulting, is it like really ups your game. When I remember one of the guys I worked with was just like, you know, this is, you know, 10 years ago, but 8 years ago, he's like, well, there's research that every time you check your email, it takes you 45 seconds to get back in the flow of your thoughts. So he had like this method about only checking email at certain points. I'm like, oh man, I got to like seriously up my game, because this is like who I'm supporting. So that was one of the things appealing for me about consulting, was that breadth of experience.
Yeah, it's so true. And it can certainly be quite intimidating at times. I mean, almost daily I feel like I'm, and probably am, the dumbest guy in the room. So it definitely takes a little bit to get used to, but like you say, it's everyone's to be there. Everyone's committed to do a good job. So, it's just a real, real pleasure to be around folks like that. So
yeah, I agree. Yeah. And then, also for someone on active duty, just like painting that picture, what is day to day? I know every week probably changes, but how would you describe, your job on like a day to day basis of what you do?
That's even harder than with law, because it changes from project to project. I've done things from aircraft manufacturing, where I was literally walking around an aircraft being built and helping improve the efficiency of cataloging the parts, to I spent a winter up in an Arctic diamond mine looking at mining operations in the frozen tundra, which was pretty wild. Negative 60 was the coldest I saw, so it was a little brutal. To now I'm working on a big corporate restructuring, which is a mix of law and operations and everything combined. So it can be literally every project has been totally different from the last. So typical day-to-day is you know generally what problem the client is trying to solve or thinks they're trying to solve. So step one is to make sure you're solving the right problem and really getting to the root of why the client thinks that that's a problem. And that can be from interviews with the senior management, it can be independent observations, it can be looking at data and creating Excel models, tons of different ways to get to that answer. Once you do that, then it's crafting the solution. And I'm sure you experienced it with McKinsey too. It's much less about coming up with your solution, but co-creating the solution with the client and making sure that it's something the client will use going forward and can implement without us, because ultimately our job is to work ourselves out of a job every project and make sure we're passing on the skills so the client can do it themselves. And then the last step is I guess you'd say wrapping up everything, making sure that it's time for us to leave and the solution is sustainable long term, and then handing it off to the client. That's kind of the longer term lifestyle life cycle of a project. And then every day it's just doing whatever task is necessary to meet one of those milestones, I suppose. I guess it's kind of a non-answer, but
no. This is great. And what's the how would you describe the lifestyle in terms of kind of hours worked and travel frequency?
Yeah, I would say it's lifestyle overall is much better than in corporate law, mainly because of the predictability and having weekends off is really nice. I've done a mix of travel projects and local projects. The travel projects, it's not ideal to be away from home Monday through Thursday, but I find that being away Monday through Thursday, you work very hard those days because there's nothing else to do usually. But then when you get home, Friday is an easier day, and then the weekends are pretty much off completely, which is great. So I think it's all about finding that balance where you I know different consulting firms travel less, I think, or more or less. But as long as you find a lifestyle that works for you and choose projects and choose your career path and maybe make sacrifices in some areas, such as what industry you're going to work at, you can shift that balance to be able to do more local projects or to travel less or to work shorter hours on the weekend. So it's really all about finding that balance and sticking to it and making sure that you communicate to the people you're working with that you have certain boundaries and you've made certain decisions and finding people that are willing to support that.
Yeah. I mean,
but overall, it's better.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like that's one of the major advantages, especially for veterans with consulting, is that because you're able to navigate from one project to another, you do have some ability to check out different industries or check out different functions or check out different geographic areas or optimize around certain areas of your life of, okay, yeah. I don't want to travel. And so you have some ability to kind of chart through and kind of shape the type of life you want to, within boundaries.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I find also like in the military, it's more of a, I found in the military, you had mentors naturally on the boat and the captain and the XO. And it was more of a traditional mentorship role, I guess, but within McKinsey and I'm sure other consulting firms, you develop those same sort of mentorship opportunities present themselves in a natural sort of way where you'll find partners and other senior people that you really enjoy working with, and then they really help navigate the process, which is great. And I think veterans have an advantage in that area because I find that they're able to ask folks for help and for guidance and willing to listen to the answer, perhaps more than some folks that haven't been in that situation where you need to rely on someone else's expertise. I think that's been great.
Mm, that's great. And how would you describe in general the career progression? If someone starts in consulting, what's that look like?
So typically you spend, at least at McKinsey, two to three years as an associate. So you are an individual contributor. You'll have a work stream or something that you're responsible for some piece of the work product. Then once you kind of get the basic consulting skills under your belt, you move up to an engagement manager, it's called, and then you're managing a group of associates and responsible for the overall deliverable to a client on an engagement, so a 6-week or so study. Then after that, you'd move to what's called an associate partner now, which changed the name, where you are managing multiple teams and you have more of a high level view of not necessarily the engagement or the specific study, but more what the client's needs are in the bigger picture. So what's the next study going to be? Where else do they need help? You're looking for other clients where you have the expertise to help them with project problems that maybe they might not even know they need, or they've reached out and are seeking help for it. Then at that stage, you're basically a junior partner, and then you become an elected partner once they're confident in your ability to do that. And then same sort of role, but more high level, more teams. And then after that, you become a senior partner where you're responsible for some of the major firm clients where you might have multiple groups of McKinsey teams working on the ground. Some of the big Fortune 50 companies, for example. And that's it.
And it seems like, similar to what you were saying for corporate law, you know, there's then that subset that at some point will parachute into another company, either one that they work with directly or someone similar, because they've built up so much knowledge of an industry or a functional role. It's kind of that, seems like that concentrated dose of SEAL team type training in business, and then you just parachute in for probably like a better life or a little bit less traveler intensity.
Exactly right. Yeah, I think of all the professional fields, I think consulting probably has the best exit options in that, certainly most variety of exit options, because you are exposed to so many different things and areas and functional expertise. You can steer your career at any point to shift over to a client side, or to start your own business, or to go into another professional field and specialize further. I think that typically consultants stay for about 2 years. So it's a very high turnover industry, I know, especially at McKinsey. And it's very much expected that it's not frowned upon to leave after 2 years or 4 years or whenever you want to leave. And it's a conversation people have frequently. And people are always asking themselves, am I happiest here, or have I found the niche at a client where I can do more types of the work that I've identified that I really like to do. So I think in a lot of ways, McKinsey broadens your horizons, and you can see, and other consulting firms, you get to see a broad range of experience or industries and functions, and then also find and develop the expertise and to the point where you're ready to do something different if that's what you want to do. It's the best of both worlds, I suppose you could say.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's great. And I imagine just hearing about your experience is helpful for people. But I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on, for someone on active duty, if they wanted to delve in and learn more about consulting, any sort of sign of like, hey, this might be a good sign that you would like consulting, or this is a sign that it might drive you crazy. And I know that like it takes such a broad swath of people, but if there's any generalizations of what might convince someone, oh, this is worth looking into more, or this should be off the table for me.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. So I think to explore, I didn't know anything about consulting at all. So it is tough being on active duty and not going a traditional business route, I guess, until if you decide to go to business school or start exploring this opportunity. It's tough to know about what consulting really is. And I think part of it is that it's so different across different industries and different functions and different things we do. And it's so broad that it's tough to kind of pin down what a consultant does. Even now it's tough for me to tell people what I do because it's so different every week. So I think really looking at the firm's websites, I think they do a pretty good job of having examples of what they've done and what type of work they really dig deep into. And then if you start looking at the case interview process, if you find yourself looking through some of the practice tests and the practice cases, and they're available online at all the websites, and you start to find that you really enjoy solving those problems and thinking through the answers to them, and you think that aside from the stress of interviewing, of course, you actually enjoy the process of preparing for the interviews or thinking about preparing for the interviews, I think that's a clear sign that you would enjoy the type of thinking required as a consultant. Mm. I think if the things that would probably drive you crazy, if you don't deal well with unpredictability and not having control over the process per se, that could be difficult. And I mean that because it is a client service industry where you own the deliverable and you own the output, but you have to convince people. 90% of your job is to convince people to that you are suggesting the right things. And that can be really rewarding, but it can also be very challenging at times when you absolutely know without a shadow of a doubt that you are suggesting something that will benefit the company. But for whatever reason, that individual or that business unit has different priorities, and they might have the best intentions in mind, but it can be very difficult to convince people that they should change their priorities. And sometimes when it actually happens, it's fantastic and it's the best day ever. But sometimes it's very discouraging when you can't do that, and then it just doesn't work out the way you hope it does.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. And definitely. See, I hadn't thought about either of those. You know, that makes me think of something that comes to mind for me is like on the might not like is just. It seems like at least the stereotype for military is very execution and hands-on oriented. And one criticism I've heard from consulting is you are advising. So you come up with the solution and then you're packaging it and giving it out to someone else. And it's like, you know, some military people might want to dive in more and say like, now let's make this happen. So that's one thing that occurs to me. But on the pro side is, and again, I'm borrowing back from my McKinsey experience and just classmates of mine from consulting is it does seem like, and you had talked about wanting to be further down the decision-making chain, like it just seems like you would spend a career on the cusp of technology, just on the forefront of every industry, and always learning about the best practice. Like you're just... The people that I met, it just seemed like, especially at the partner level, these were guys that are like 50, and they knew more than anyone else in the world about their industry or functional or whatever else. And they had to just always be on top of latest trends, latest research. And in a lot of ways, I could see that being appealing to a military audience of wanting to like just kind of be at that tip of the spear, wanting to be at the forefront of something.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you nailed it. I mean, most military folks generally have a hunger for learning, and this will definitely satisfy it because you're always learning. And our clients, no matter how much you learn, always know more than us. Maybe not as much breadth, but always more depth knowledge. So you're always learning from them, which is such an incredible experience. You learn literally the cutting edge technology or the latest thinking on everything, which is great. Although if you prefer more traditional industries, we do a lot of mining work too. So I learned a lot about dump trucks, which are not the most innovative, but still quite exciting. So we cater to all types.
That's awesome. Well, last question I'd ask of you is, what was the biggest surprise about the transition to civilian life? Like, what was it that you didn't know while you were on active duty?
I think the biggest for me is how much I would miss the closeness of the relationships you develop with folks in the military that I think you can't get anywhere else. You can get close. You can, when you're in a team room at midnight solving a problem, you get pretty close. But I mean, you and I could attest when we're sharing the periscope in the middle of a typhoon and spinning circles at midnight and we haven't slept in weeks, like you can't replicate that bond outside the military, I don't think. And I definitely missed that. And it was definitely something that was a big part of my decision deciding to stay or go. That was on very much on the favor of staying side. And I think, I don't regret my decision to leave at all. It was definitely, I missed it more than I thought I would, I guess is the way to say. But I think you can form tight bonds. It's just, I think that you'll never get something quite as tight as that.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree that depth of shared experience and just, oftentimes shared misery and then just, just kind of very intense circumstances pull you together in a way that I agree. It's hard to approximate that on the other side.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Well, Tom, I appreciate your time, and I know you're headed back out of the conference room, back into the thick of things after this, but it means a lot to take the time to speak with me about this.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and I definitely encourage any veterans to listen. You don't sell yourself short or think that you can't do anything. I find that a lot of the advising I've done for folks thinking about switching to consulting or to law school or things tend to minimize their experiences on their resume, and I think we underestimate the incredible experience and leadership skills that we bring to the table that I just think sometimes veterans don't really appreciate the magnitude of it when they're in the thick of it. So that would be my final piece of advice.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And I echo that as well. Well, thank you very much, Tom. I owe you a beer when I see you next.
Definitely. I'll hold you up. Thanks, Tom. It's okay. Really great catching up.
Yeah, have a good rest of the night.
Talk to you again soon, hopefully.
Yep.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Surface.
All right, before we wrap up, a couple quick announcements. So as always, you can find additional interviews and resources at beyondtheuniform.io. I encourage you to browse through the people I've had on so far, or if there's a particular background you're looking for that I haven't interviewed yet, drop me a line at the website and would love to build out as diverse a portfolio as possible to help you in that transition and how you're thinking about your career. Second, I wanted to give another shout out to servicetoschool.org. Service to School is a free resource for all veterans to help you get into the ideal academic institution for you, be that college, med school, business school, law school, whatever it is, they're going to pair you up with another veteran with a similar background who's going to guide you through the process of resumes, interviews, applications, a whole host of things, 100% free. There's not a veteran I wouldn't encourage to go seek them out. If there are people that you know of who would benefit from this podcast, would appreciate your sending it their way or letting me know other channels to promote this. Want to make sure that as many veterans as possible have access to this. Thanks so much and have a great week.